Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Chris Jordan. He is the founder and president and chief steward of Electroacoustics. It's a sound company out of Fort Worth, Texas. If you have any questions, we invite you to call in at 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room, or you can go ahead and Twitter us at #ApplesCapital. Well, Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. Good to be here.
I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself and your company and how did you get started?
Well, that's just a great story. We have been in business for 28 years last April 1st. And that should tell you a lot about how we do things on starting it on April Fool's Day in and of itself. But, my business plan was that I was working with my dad installing stereos in homes and occasionally small churches. And mm-hmm. we worked out of a 1974 Pontiac station wagon with ladders on the top. And I wrecked the family station wagon.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had a project that I needed to get completed. And my biggest obstacle to that was having a van and tools because I wanted to start my own business. So my dad didn't want to rent a car, so I went and sold my Pontiac Grand Prix and bought a used white cargo van, went to a pawn shop, bought a handful of tools, and started Electroacoustics in 1984. And so over the past 28 years, we have been blessed enough to do projects like the ballpark in Arlington for the Texas Rangers, the Bass Performance Hall. We're currently doing the new TCU Amon Carter Football Stadium for the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs. And we do churches, museums, convention centers. And we've just been incredibly blessed over the last 28 years to be in business.
Wow. Yeah, I ran across your name about a year ago with Panasonic over something, and again, if they mention you, and they didn't really respect, they said, if you want something done and you want it done right, go give Chris a call. Wonderful guy and Christian guy, and he will take good care of you. So it was a lot to say something from really, even with Panasonic saying something like that. And I was pretty much new to the city, so oh my gosh, you know, it's scary going to live in a new city and getting ready to spend church dollars, and something happens, and they look at you. But you took
well,
good care
right.
of us, and yeah.
One of our key values as a company is a value that we call stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why on my title I call myself the chief steward, and that applies to several things. We understand that most people that are buying from us don't understand what it is that they're buying.
Absolutely.
A steward is someone that has been appointed the trust of someone else's resources or a manager. And so we decided that we would manage our customers' resources in a way that honors God. And so we would not mm-hmm. oversell systems or undersell systems, that we would design the system that was most appropriate for the application. And in your church that we recently did for you, we could have replaced the entire system, but instead of doing that, you know, if you recall, I said really what we need to do is just adjust what you have and make some minor changes, which really made a big difference and saved, you know, thousands of dollars to the church.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when I was at CNN a few months ago, beginning of the year, and it was kind of neat to see that they're using the anchor's desk, they're using the Sennheiser lapel mics. And I said, oh, my gosh, who got those? Yeah, it was awesome. So if CNN can use them, I definitely we got probably some of the best.
That's
so
right.
It was kind of really, really, I said, oh, my gosh, I was really impressed when I went on the anchor floor and asked the sound guy, so what are you using? He showed us, I got that. So that felt really, really good. That I said, okay, I know we've done something well. But what is the normal challenges? Well, everyday challenges are dealing with a sound system because you always get different opinions. I mean, you get someone in a church environment or office environment. The office is more of a dictatorship and say, hey, this is what it is, and that gets a buyer to go do it and get it solved that way. But in a nonprofit situation, when you have to have people involved and you want that support, what can you really do? Because you have a person that thinks they know what to do because they have been doing it for so many years, and then you have a company coming in and say, no, this is what you really need to do. I've noticed in several churches I've been involved with, you will have resistance from some of the largest churches. From one opinion of a person versus the company say this is how to go. In those particular situations, what do you normally come in and say to that organization head or that pastor or to that person who think they know it all?
Or commonly the committee. that's a great question and probably the most difficult question facing the committee. Because, like I said, they really don't understand, you know, acoustics, sound, light, you know, so they're spending thousands of dollars for something that they don't understand that they hope turns out well. I guess the biggest answer to that by far is past performance, and regardless of what people say, regardless of the brochure. Regardless of the personality of the salesman or how convincing an argument or a brand name that anybody speaks of, what you've really got to look at is this person's past history and performance. And if they've been in business long enough and they've done consistently a good job over those years in business, they will have one, two, three, four, or more projects or rooms that are very similar to what you're doing. And that company should be able to take you to that room and show you this is what the end product is going to look like, and here's why. And if they don't have that, either they don't have the experience or they don't have the ability.
Wow. That's a good thing to say. I know that you've done things from the ballpark. How in the world, from the ballpark with an open space like that, how do you go in there and to design a system that will work for something that big? I mean, it's like 50 or 100,000 seats?
Right. We did the installation. We worked with an acoustical engineering firm out of Dallas called WJHW, Wrightson, Johnson, Haddon, and Williams. They actually developed a concept. Our first work out there was when the ballpark was new in 1994, and a fairly new concept was developed in open-air stadiums. And if you look at that stadium and many others that follow a similar design, there's a ring of very large speakers up at the very top of the seating bowl. And those speakers are aimed actually at the seats closest to the field, because there's not a place to hang them out in the middle of everywhere. And then there are multiple layers of little fill speakers all the way up that seating bowl to those speakers. And each one of those speakers is time-aligned so that the sound comes to each listener at the same time. And the result is a very even distribution, very high quality, very clear, very musical sound. And it's a very, very different approach. Primarily because there's not a person out in the middle of the field talking. So it doesn't matter where the sound is coming from. And so if it's coming from behind you, then it's not an issue. You get into a performing arts theater or a church where there's a person that you're visually looking at, you know, our goal is to localize the sound on that person so that it seems like it's coming from the person talking and not from somewhere else out in the room. So the approaches on them are very different.
Wow. Even within that same setting, we can't hear what's going on on the field. How do they do they walk around with some small microphone and then every now and then you hear something, or they come in from the broadcasters down there and they share their mics? How they getting that audio sound up there to the system?
The sound originates from the announcer, up in the announcer booth.
Okay.
And goes through a series of mixers that allows the operators to optimize the sound quality. That goes to a huge bank of amplifiers at the ballpark in Arlington. There's 184 stereo amplifiers up in a large
wow.
room. And then from there, those 360-some-odd amplifiers are feeding the signal to the speakers all over the park. And then all of those speakers are adjusted with a digital signal processor that allows precise adjustment of both tone quality, the time arrival, system optimization. So it's a very, very complex system. Everything's fully computer controlled. It's even designed so that if a speaker fails, it can send an email to us to let us know that a speaker or an amplifier has failed, and we can send the service tech out to do the repair.
Okay. And likewise, from that type of stadium to the Galleria that you worked on, with the Galleria, is it in the sense of just adding additional speakers throughout the whole shopping center? Or
no.
How was... No.
That was actually designed all around the ice rink. And every Thanksgiving,
okay.
they have an ice show or an event come in. And
mm-hmm.
they wanted to use that ice show as a drawing point for people to come see, to bring customers into the Galleria. And so we designed custom speakers within the walls of the rink itself so that the performers on the ice could hear the sound. And then we had speakers at each level going up that column, so that when the people would hear the sound, be drawn to the rink, look over, see the show, and hear what's going on. So again, the time alignment, the localization, bringing people to a point, all of that is part of the design factor.
Okay. What are the common issues in dealing with the same thing you always see when you go into a church and they have a sound issue? Is there always a common issue they will always have?
No, it is. It is always unique. The way we approach any customer, and let's just take a church for example.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest job is to understand the needs of the customer of the church. So if their style of worship determines how the sound system is designed, it also
mm-hmm.
determines the acoustics that we want to be in the building. And acoustics are very predictable. We know in advance what the room is going to sound like. That can all be mathematically modeled, and nowadays there are even systems that allow you to build a virtual room of what you're going to build. And then listen to it or audition the sound of the room before the room is being built. So if you're a Catholic church and you really want to enjoy the ambience or the sound in the room, so that when you hear the organ play, when you hear the congregation sing, they want to hear
mm-hmm.
that sound return back to themselves so that they feel like they're enveloped, like being part of a large choir. They're enveloped by the sound of the organ, then we want a room that is acoustically more alive or returns more sound or energy back to the participants. And that works great for choral music, for organ music, for primarily acoustically driven music. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have churches that... we'll use acoustic drums, bass guitar, lead guitar, vocals at a very high level. That's more similar to a rock concert than to a,
mm-hmm.
an organ, piano-led choir. And so the acoustics in that environment have to be just the opposite. If you were to drive a room that hard with a drum or bass guitar, if the room returned that energy back into the room, all those bass notes, all the individual beats of the drum would all smear together and just be muddy, mush, and indistinguishable. So our first goal is to determine what the needs of how the room is going to be designed. If it's going to be more acoustic, more choral, more organ-driven, then we're going to have a lot more hard surfaces that are going to reflect that energy back to the congregation. If it's going to be percussive or band-driven, then we're going to have a lot more absorption in the room, soft materials, carpet, acoustical panels, pads on seats, that's going to absorb that sound so that it doesn't continue to reflect in the room and build up reverberation. So once we get a feel for what type of worship they're going to they want to experience, then we can develop the acoustical goals of the room. Once the acoustical goals are in place, then we can begin the sound system, the design. The architect is going to have strong opinions on what can be visible or not visible, which affects speaker placement, the type of speaker that's chosen, where that speaker is placed, and all of those parameters are taken into account in putting the design together.
Wow. You know, in certain traditions, I think church is so varied today. You have your contemporary music, you have your gospel music, you have your traditional piano and organ, and you have your chant music. And churches, it's from hard surfaces to carpeted rooms. In those particular situations, because I know, like, for example, in several churches, friends of mine, they always have this thing, okay, this is more of a cathedral-type, old traditional church, hard surfaces. Yeah, it's great for a cappella music. It's good for Gregorian chants. However, when you add the 11 o'clock service to it, or the Sunday evening service who wants to have the rock guitar style or contemporary music, then you end up with a different dynamic. And then when you add band instruments, flutes and saxophones and all of that together, then you just, no, you're adding more to that particular mix, and that's really hard to control. How in the world can you control drums, bass, guitar, a 10-piece orchestra, in a sense, or a 16-piece orchestra, all in that same context in that particular worship space, where ritual is designed for something simpler than that?
That's a great question. And that is one of the biggest problems that we face, is people want to have a multiple-use facility. They want to, they want the organ and the piano and the acoustic to be great, but then they want to bring in a set of acoustic drums and a guitar, and those are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And usually when you do a compromise, it does neither one well. And so there are several different solutions to that, and they all cost money. When you want to build a room for more than one application, you're going to have to build it to accommodate different applications. There's primarily two ways of doing that. One way is what we've done historically in the past, is we can design variable acoustical systems. And you'll often see this in performance halls. They'll build the room so that it's very live with a very large, you know, orchestra shell, you know, a very voluminous room, lots of hard surfaces. But then they will put on the walls electric drapes or systems that can rotate. One side is hard, the other side is very absorptive. And so they can rotate the surfaces from hard to soft to tune the room. So you've got large mechanics that change literally the materials in the room, add more soft materials, and take that live acoustic room and then dampen it down so that it's not very live, so it's very good for percussion-driven music. Mm-hmm. But again, it's very expensive. It consists of drapes that can be drawn in, materials that can be rotated in. But in the last few years, some technologies have come out that do it just the opposite and do it electronically. There's a company in Berkeley, California called Meyer Sound, M-E-Y-E-R. It has a reputation for being one of the very best in the industry. Meyer has developed an electronic acoustical enhancement system. So they start with a very dampened room that has a lot of absorptive materials around the room, so it's designed at its base level just the opposite of an acoustical friendly room. It's a very dampened room that absorbs the sound. Then they take a series of microphones and speakers, and those speakers, the microphones pick up the sound energy from the room, goes through a digital processing system, and then comes out of hundreds of speakers mounted around the walls and the ceiling. And each one of those speakers replicates what a sound would sound like if it was to go up, hit the ceiling, and then return down to the listeners. And so now you could, with a touch of a button, you can decide if you want it to be very muted and dampened for rock, or if you want to bring it up to 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds of reverberation time for an organ concert. And so the room can be used for any application.
Wow.
We heard a demonstration of this at a convention center. And Meyer had a booth with no walls in a very noisy convention center. And they had a person just standing there playing a saxophone, and it sounded like you were in a huge concert hall. And they could push the button and turn it off, and all the sound just disappeared. And it's an unbelievably effective system.
Wow. And it's just conducted with speakers?
Speakers, microphones, amplifiers, digital processors, an entire system is picking up the sound energy from the stage or from the room and returning that energy electronically through the speakers back down just like it would be. You're creating virtual walls that are mimicked by these speakers.
Okay, I follow.
And so you can, instead of the sound going out, hitting a ceiling and coming down, now the sound goes up, gets picked up by a microphone, and comes out of a speaker just like it would off of a ceiling. But you get to control how much sound, the tone quality of the sound, and how large that room sounds or feels, or how hard or acoustic or alive it sounds or feels. It's unbelievably. It's just difficult to understand how it happens when you're hearing it, but it's just wonderful.
Okay. I have a question right here. With the experience of with the Black Church, Gospel, Baptist, I'm sure that their focus is a little bit different. They're going to be more focused on their lower tones. They're going to be focused on the particular, like for example, a Hammond organ and drums and bass. Then they build things from there. Is there any difference? I'm trying to take his question because it's a pretty long sentence. In that particular style, now we come from Iraq, now we're going to now a different cultural mix because they want a certain mix in order to get that feel of that traditional church of what they're looking for. Any difference in how you actually prepare the sound for that type of environment?
Yeah, absolutely. We choose the room acoustics and the sound system based specifically on every church's needs. And when you're saying it's a Black gospel church, we've done quite a few of those. We're not talking about an Allen organ with pipes and a cathedral. We're talking about a Leslie B3. And acoustic drums and a bass guitar. And it's more of a rhythm and blues, you know, just a incredible sound. So we're going to want the room more on the muted side, so that when the drum beats and you hear the bass of the guitar, those don't run together and smear. And also, we're going to have some preaching of the word. It's very important that it is just crystal clear, so that you can understand easily what's being said anywhere in the room. So we're going to design that room towards more on the muted side, as opposed to more on the acoustic or live side. We're also going to have substantial amount of subwoofers, because that's a percussion bass driven music, and so we want to be able to feel that as well as hear it, to where we engage with the music, what's going on, and it's going to be played at a pretty high level, and so we need a system that's capable of producing those levels.
Okay. If there was like a top five things that a church should do, and when looking at getting a sound provider in the community, or upgrading or doing something with the sound system, what advice do you have for them if they did five different things or looking at five different proposals? I mean, you mentioned the top of the hour, look at the credibility of the company, look at the work they have already done. But what advice would you give them if they're at the beginning stages or if they're looking at kind of upgrading their sound
in
the church?
Yep, and I'm going to start right at the top of the hour, and that is most important is verifiable experience. A person can be in business 20 years but not necessarily do good work. So if you don't go and look at the systems, you've got to verify that experience. So that's by far the most important. I would say right below that is the service department. Do they have a full-time service department? And can you get a hold of them on a weekend? Can you call up on a Sunday morning, have a technician return you, and walk you through the problem? Because that's when the problem's going to happen, on a Friday afternoon, Saturday, or Sunday morning. So what's their service department? How are they going to support you and back you up? Third, I think, would be financial stability. I would ask for the company's financial statement. Are they barely making it? Are they in debt? Are they going to be able to finish the job? Are they going to be around in 2 or 3 years to service you? You know, we're a debt-free company, and we're financially strong. That's why we've been here 28 years. We want to be here another 28 years to take care of our customers. That's the kind of partner you want, so that when you need help, you can get it. Then I would look at their design staff. You know, who do they have on their design staff? What kind of work have they done in the past? What are their credentials? Can they show you the work they have done? And then I think just the quality of the work itself. And then again, we do a tour of churches for our clients. We find out what kind of a worship style that they have. We'll take them to 2, 3, 4 similar facilities of the worship style and the size of room they're looking for, and they'll be able to get to look visually how we've done the work, what the quality is like. They'll be able to hear the sound, to be able to walk around, ask questions, look at the video, look at the theatrical lighting. They'll get to see it in action. And that's how you, when you find that company that can deliver that multiple times, then you know you've got the right company.
Wow. And last couple of comments real quick. When it comes to running a business like yours, what advice do you have a person who's looking to get into sound ministry or any small business? What things that, and within your struggles when you first started, what advice do you give to them in order to kind of get yourself ramped up for a business?
Well, that's really a good question, too. You know, I think the bottom line is that you have always got to be committed to doing the right thing regardless of what it costs you. And if you make a mistake, you go correct it at your cost, and you just admit it. You don't make excuses. You don't cover it up. You don't blame other people. You just take care of it, even if it costs you money. Proverbs 15 says that a man of integrity swears to his own hurt, and he does not change. And I think that's the model of the kind of man you want to do business with. That if you sit down, I had a customer where I could have justified the decisions that I made, but I realized in the end I did not do a good job of listening, and I should have picked up on what he was asking me, and I failed to do that, and it cost me $7,000.
Wow.
And he has given me multiple references and given me many jobs as a result of that, and I've made that $7,000 back multiple times over. And everybody would want to do business with the man that will be honest, that will do the right thing, that will always keep his word, and always put your needs above his. Who would not want to do business with someone like that?
Well, that's perfect. I do have one question here from a podcaster. He said, what type of equipment will I need if I do a podcast? I'm not sure. I'm sure you have some general information. So
I think that's more of your line than mine.
I have no idea. I don't even look at it. Just turn it on and go from there. But anyway, I'm sure they just need a mixer and a microphone. And I'm not sure what else they
need from
that. On a computer. So well, that was cute. But anyway, how can we contact you if they have any other questions or if they want to talk to you in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex?
You bet. Best way is my email address.
Mm-hmm.
That is C, like Chris, C Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at
mm-hmm.
E-A-V, like Victor, I.com. Electroacoustics Video Inc. So C Jordan at EAVI.com. And our website is www.eavi.com. And my phone number is 817-924-2756.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you for coming on the program. Really appreciate your time.
Well, Tim, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Okay, great. Understanding and improving your sound system with Chris Jordan. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day. This show can be downloaded on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or on blog.applecapitalgroup. If you have any other questions, you can give Chris a call if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, or you can give me a call and I'll go ahead and forward the information over. Again, this is another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Everybody, have a great day, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.